also want to read from Hebrews chapter 5, just a few verses. Angus Jameson preached on these verses last Sunday evening, and I encourage you to listen to it online. I affirm everything that Angus brought, and I just want us to dwell on it a bit longer, because these verses are the key to the whole of the book of Hebrews, I believe, helping us to understand who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Did you know that Martin Luther was a hymn writer as well? Where did these guys find the time? He wrote lots of hymns. And one of the hymns that he wrote goes like this, based on Psalm 46, "A mighty fortress is our God, a defense, a bulwark, never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, the devil, doth seek to work us woe. His craft and his power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth there is no equal." On earth is not his equal. And then he's thinking about his life of following God, following Jesus. He says, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing." You know, if we worked in our own strength, we'd lose. "So did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Don't ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, and from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." See, that was his experience, that whenever he came under temptation, whenever he came under temptation to give up, whenever he felt overwhelmed, whenever he felt that his own weaknesses, his own moral failings, and the devil accused him, he says, with one little word, he could bring down the work of the devil. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. You see, he knew that being a Christian meant that ultimately his life was not his own. That ultimately he was prepared to die because of his love for Jesus Christ. Does that sound extreme to you this morning? Some sort of extreme teaching that is not relevant to our daily lives here in Inverness? Don't make the mistake of thinking that these heroes of the faith have nothing to teach us. Because the same principles are true for us. Who has ever been in the situation of feeling overwhelmed with what God has asked them to do. Okay, thank you. You don't have to admit it. I'll admit it. Who has ever felt tempted to go an easier path? Who has ever heard God saying to them in the Bible, this is what I want you to do, and we ignore it because we think it's just too difficult? Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross. They must lose their life in order to gain it. What good is it if we gain the whole world and we lose eternal life? What good is it if we do not have that relationship with God? And what we see here in Hebrews is that Jesus is the suffering servant who learns obedience to God's word, who submitted himself to God's way, who uniquely, because he submitted to God's word, because he submitted to God's way, he became the source of God's salvation. And we too are called to be his suffering servants, who must learn to obey God's word, must learn to submit to God's way, and who must be prepared to be selfless in putting the needs of others before ourselves, to be selfless in the service of God's salvation. Jesus Christ himself is uniquely the source of our salvation, but we, if we will submit to God's word and learn his way, must give ourselves for this great plan of God for the world. Jesus was always with God, but when he became a human being, he learned something that he did not know before. When Jesus became a human being, he went through an experience that he had never been through before. In his humanity, he experienced temptation. He experienced testing. He experienced choice to do God's will or not to do God's will. And that's what it means when it says that Jesus learned obedience. But this obedience came from God's word. He knew from the history of Israel, which is reflected on in Hebrews chapter 3, that sin is ultimately not obeying God's word. When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This morning, when you hear his voice, do you harden your heart? Jesus heard God speak to him. He read in Isaiah, the servant of the Lord, and the mission of the servant of the Lord. And he said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will. Even if that means that I need to die. And when Jesus submitted to God's way, he had to put his own internal resistance to one side and allow God's will to control his own will. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he offered up loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Do you remember Jesus prayed, Lord, take this cup from me? Is there another way? Ultimately saying, do I need to die? And the answer came back, yes. It is the Lord's will that you die, for for the salvation of the world. And so he learned what it meant to put his own desires second and God's desires first. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. And it says he was heard. He was not heard straight away. He still went to the cross, he suffered, he died. But he was heard on the third day when God raised him from the dead and took him to the right hand of God. And so it says here in Hebrews that because of his obedience to God's word, because of his submission to God's way, he is the source of our salvation. And I simply want to ask you today, what is the place of God's word in your life? Are you obeying it? What is the place of God's way in your life? Are you following it? And is your love for God enough to say, my life is not my own? I will go wherever you lead me to go. Are you able to worship him with the whole of your life? Because worship ultimately is the submission of all our nature to God. Jesus submitted himself totally to God. I finish with these words from Graham Kendrick. From heaven, you came helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. My heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will, but yours, he said. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. You see, these truths are so profound that I believe what we need to do now, as God helps us, is to simply worship him. And that is why God has given us the Lord's Supper, the communion, to in these symbols of bread and wine, to speak to us about his broken body and his shed blood, to have space to reflect on our own response to his great sacrifice, and to pray for his strength to follow him from this day forward. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. And I believe the beginning of that is by remembering that that's what Jesus did. Putting others first, it is him that we serve. Would you stand with me, and we're going to sing again, Man of Sorrows.